My guest in One-on-One is Shimon Barnek. Today he's well known as the director and one of the co-founders of People in Need, one of the Czech Republic's biggest non-governmental organizations. People in Need works around the world to ease the suffering of people in times of crisis and has become hugely respected far beyond this country's borders. But Shimon Barnek first came to the public's attention for a very different reason. It was 17 years ago this month that he was at the heart of the events that came to be known as the Velvet Revolution. As a 22-year-old student, he was one of the organizers of the demonstration on the 17th of November that was the catalyst for the rapid collapse of the communist regime. For several months, students had been trying to play a more active role in bringing about change.
The first discussions, which were more concrete, I think started beginning of 89 among the few group of students in Prague. And then through summer and the beginning of autumn, it got materialized in a building of Stuha, which means ribbon. This Stuha consisted of maybe 45 different people from different faculties, knowing each other, trusting each other, and planning to organize different student anti-regime actions.
What were your aims? Because nobody had any idea, I think, at that time that within a year all the communist regimes of Central Europe would collapse like a pack of cards.
The aims were probably much more practical, just ability to spread the informations among ourselves, because a lot of unofficial demonstrations were happening since 88. And then there was a kind of a strong feeling that we as students, we should start to do something as well. And we were not much concrete about what it will be. We had no strategic plan. We had just few ideas, and one of them was to organize the demonstration on the 17th of November, and in turn into the biggest demonstration since 68 or 69, and finally the demonstration which started basically the very quick collapse of the Czechoslovakian communists.
And so tell me a little bit about the events of that day, because it really has gone down in Czech and Slovak history.
I was not in Prague. That is my very simple answer. I didn't attend the demonstration because I was out of Prague for a few days, basically making some small money as a university student, so I can't comment it.
You must have found out pretty soon what happened, though, that the students in the street, Národní třída, were brutally stopped by the police and that people were injured, and that the police had intervened very heavy-handedly. Did you find out straight away from your friends?
Not from my friends, because there were no mobile phones. The communications were very limited. The regime controlled basically every means of communication. We found it out through radio, through BBC and the Voice of America. I returned back during the weekend, because 17 was the Friday evening. And then, I don't know how, but I somehow phoned my colleagues from this student net and some other active students, and we started to prepare the first statement with the demands of the students.
And what happened next? There were a series of further demonstrations. There was a student strike, and then that extended into a general strike, didn't it?
Yes, the students decided, with a kind of cooperation with the actors and with the theaters, to start the strike from Monday, 20th of November. The first statement and demands of the students were completed during the night between Sunday and Monday. Then I returned home with the feeling that I have to basically be aware of the fact that I won't be able to go back for the next few weeks, because the things are getting really serious. Then on Monday, my faculty joined the strike with the voting. There was a kind of a session of the students and the professors, and all of them decided, or at least the vast of majority decided, that we are joining the occupation strike. We got the keys from the dean. The dean left the faculty, and the students start to rein the natural science faculty. In the first days, we were very much aware of the fact that kind of an information war is at stake, because the communists tried still control the Czech radio, and through their very strong propaganda, they tried to basically control the possible support for the students. But this kind of an emotive message the police brutally attacked the student demonstration was so strong that it sensitized and mobilized a lot of the, let's say, ordinary people, which then joined the massive demonstrations, and the demonstrations turned very soon into the strongly anti-communist or anti-regime demonstration with the one main demand, end of the leading role of the Communist Party.
And were you afraid at that time, or was there just so much euphoria and optimism that you just were riding on a wave?
The first 2 days were very tense because the militia, which was the Communist Party armored units, start to come in heavy numbers into the Prague, and there were the rumors that the army maybe will step in, and some of the communist leaders indeed proposed on their closed sessions that a very strong and heavy power should be used. But I think that since third or fourth day of strikes, it was clear that they basically can't stop it. That they might send something and someone, that they might capture few 10 people, maybe few 100 people. But if they will do so, another few 100,000 people will get on into the streets and they will lose anyway. So it was quite clear in a very few days that there is no real danger for us.
And by the end of the year, the regime had collapsed. Václav Havel was president. Unlike some people in similar positions to yourself, you stubbornly didn't follow a political career, didn't you?
No, I did not follow the political career. There were a few reasons for that. I had a feeling that I'm so young. I was 22 years old, and I had no feeling that it is the right time to start to be a professional politician. That's one thing. Another thing, which is more egoistic, let's say, but I just got the freedom. And I wanted to travel around the world. I wanted to start some journalist work, the things which were forbidden for me before. So I didn't want to lose my freedom joining the politics at that time. 2 years later, I basically returned back to the, let's say, public life, being one of the founding members of People in Need, probably the strongest NGO in the Czech Republic.
Yes, the work of the foundation, People in Need, is extremely well known, both in the Czech Republic and internationally. You've done a great deal to help people in need in all sorts of different situations, whether it's from floods or people who've been affected by war in many parts of the world. To what extent has your work and your commitment to that work, to what extent was it formed in your mind at the time of the Velvet Revolution, do you think?
If you have a look on our Human Rights and Democratization Department in People in Need, which does the same things which was done from Western countries during the communism inside the Czech Republic, and then our department does the same things in Cuba, Belarus, and other places. So we basically carry on kind of the moral duty to continue with the very similar work, supporting of opposition, supporting of the families of political prisoners, supporting the independent journalists in the non-democratic countries, because we still remember how important it was for our country that the people from abroad helped us.
Szymon Panek, former student leader at the time of the Velvet Revolution and now director of People in Need. Thank you very much indeed for talking to me.
Thank you.